All right, take your Bibles tonight and turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 55 tonight, Psalm 55. I did fail to mention, I believe the ladies are having prayer meeting this week at Sister Sherry's on Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. I apologize for overlooking that. Psalm 55, we'll take our text from there in just a moment. A few weeks ago, I preached on wounded spirits, and tonight, as I told you, I had done a lot of research on that subject. I talked to some pastors, and I talked to some missionaries that came through, and some had even came and talked to me about a situation with some members of their family, about how that they had gotten out and away from the Lord because of some things they've experienced. I'm about a missionary. His brother, who was a missionary, was on the field, no longer on the field, and no longer going to a good Bible-believing church because of the fact of getting hurt. I want to talk about preach tonight again on that particular subject because it is so wide and so vast and so needed. I'm looking at some people in here who no doubt at some point growing up in church and around church, working in church, that you have been hurt or you've been wounded. It doesn't just happen at church. It also happens with your family and within your own family circle. It happens. And yet here you are tonight and you have been overcomers thus far. And yet sometimes we can hide a lot of things underneath the surface, can't we? And we can sometimes, as we heard in Sunday school this morning, we can do our duty when really there's no desire, but we stay in our place. And you know, when you don't have the desire, go ahead and stay in your place. Go ahead and do your duty, because those desires will come back. If you'll hang in there with God, God's faithful, then God will help you with those things. The Bible says the spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit, who can bear? You know, and the Bible implies that outward wounds are easier to overcome than the inward wounds that come into our hearts, in our spirits. David said, my heart is wounded within me. Now, in order for you to hurt my heart, you've got to be close enough in my life to be able to do that. You agree with that, right? So I want you to look with me in Psalm 55 at something that David said about this. In Psalm 55 in verse number 12. He said, for it was not an enemy. It was not an enemy that reproached me. Now, if I understand correctly, a reproach, those are words. Those are slanderous statements, insinuations, things that attack your character, your integrity, your reputation, that you, if you're a godly person, you don't, the Lord Jesus said he made himself of no reputation. In other words, he wasn't interested in being the most popular guy in high school. What he was interested in is doing what was right. And God will take care of your reputation. But however, at the same time, you don't want your testimony or your influence impacted by someone reproaching you. He said, for it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. I'm not surprised by what some people say. Their words don't matter to me. It's not that their words don't impact me or maybe hinder some things, but they don't wound me. He said, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. I mean, I expect that. He said, then I would have hid myself from him. Watch what he says. But it was thou, a man, mine equal, my guide, and mine acquaintance. So what have you done with a person like that? What you've done is you've let your guard down, and you have let them inside your circle. You've made yourself vulnerable to them. That can be a friend. It can be a soulmate. It can be a wife or a husband. It can be somebody at church that you love and you trust and confide in. Look what he says in verse 14. He said, we took what kind of counsel together? Sweet counsel together. And walked unto the house of God in company. I'd say that whoever he's referring to, I'd say they're pretty tight, wouldn't you? He said, well, I'm never going to trust anybody ever at any time. Well, that's a pretty lonely life. And did you know that if you're going to be like the Lord Jesus Christ, you make yourself still vulnerable again and again and again. And I've learned that you got to have hide like an alligator and a heart like a lamb as a Christian. That's what you got to have. But the Bible says here, he says in verse number 14, he said, we took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company. Maybe that's why David wrote and said, my heart is wounded within me. And I mentioned a few weeks ago, I used the illustration in Luke chapter number 10. We won't turn there for sake of time. But I used the illustration about the Good Samaritan. The Good Samaritan was, Jesus used that as an illustration of a man who was taking a trip down to Jericho and some thieves jumped him. And we tried to use the illustration of the thieves, and then there was the priests and the Levites that passed by, and then there was the Good Samaritan that passed by. Can I say to you tonight that I need to remind you of something that the reality of life here on this planet, I don't think that there's hardly anybody that's going to make it off this planet without some pain and some heartache and some heartbreak along the way. For some of you young people and young adults who say that you want to serve the Lord, your real test is going to come when you are greatly, greatly disappointed in something that occurs in your life. That is going to be your test. Some look for that as an opportunity to just simply go about and do what they wanted to do, and they'll blame you for it. And they'll go on about and do what they've been wanting to do for a number of years. And they'll say, well, I got hurt, and I don't trust anybody anymore. I don't trust a preacher. I don't trust anybody. Well, we know that there are people that, good people sometimes, that hurt you without intent to do so. But can I tell you, there are some people that are just plain mean and selfish and envious and bitter and angry. And like those thieves, they think only about themselves. And they'll run over you, reproach you, and hurt you. And they'll just keep moving on while they're living in your mind rent-free because of what they have done to you. They don't even think about what they have done to you anymore. They took what they wanted or they hurt you, and they're not even thinking about you. They've got somebody else lined up in their sights now. While you are suffering and wondering, when are they going to get right with God? When are they going to apologize to me? Am I ever going to be able to live for God again? Am I waiting on them? And you know what? There's some people you can wait on to your grave. They're never going to make things right with you. What you don't want to do is go into what I call a zombie stage. You don't want to be a walking wounded, just walking around the rest of your days as a believer. You don't want to do that. Those thieves, some people are just mean and evil and hateful, and they're harmful. And they will hurt you, and they'll hurt your children as well. And they are takers. And they'll hurt the reputation of good people. It makes me angry when somebody attacks good people in our church. It makes me angry. It makes me want to lay hands on them suddenly. They lie, they slander, and they gossip. As I mentioned before, if you want to hurt me deeply, lie to me or lie about me. Lie to me or lie about me. Or lie about somebody that I care about in the church or in my family. You're going to hurt me. You're going to hurt me because you've hurt them. Amen? And so there's some balance here on this, but I do will say that they're going to be thieves, and they come and they take. And I don't know why God sometimes allows them to live and to do what they do, but He does. He does. That's all I can tell you. He does. It's sort of like Jesus used the parable about the sowers of the good seed and the sowers of the tares. And the angel said, Lord, you want us to go in the service? He said, go get those tares out. And he said, no, don't do that. He said, you will wind up tearing up some of the good stuff. So I don't understand sometimes why God allows some things to occur, and why He allows you sometimes to be deeply hurt of when you're alone and you're weeping yourself to sleep. And sometimes, you know, there are just some wounds that will go deep and they last for a long time. And they're not easy to heal and to get over. And there are some people in that story of the Good Samaritan who walked by and saw this guy wounded, and they walked on around him and they were aware of his need, but they didn't care about his need. They didn't do anything about it. I think this takes place sometimes in homes where children sometimes and teenagers are abused, and there are other adults in that household who are aware of it and who say nothing and do nothing. I think sometimes there are young teenagers in a home and they see the abuse maybe of their mother, but there's really nothing they can do to some degree. How frustrating that can be. But I'm just telling you, there are some people that do know. They don't care. Can you get understand there are some people that are mean? They're just mean. Preachers, evangelists, missionaries, Sunday school teachers, deacons. There are people, but they're not in the majority at your church. Amen. They are, at least not in this church. They are in the minority. You say, well, why don't you get rid of them? Well, sometimes they're pretty subtle. Yeah, that's right. And sometimes they do things that I don't find out about till later. And then sometimes, just because some people are aware of it, they don't want to say nothing because they don't want to get involved in it. Because sometimes you can't prove what you saw and what you felt and what you heard. Sometimes it's sort of like discernment. You know, you walk into a room and there's a rat that's died in the wall, but you can't take the wall down. You can't prove there's a rat in the wall, but you smell a rat. It's like when the propane gets low in the kitchen. It doesn't take long for you to know that there's a problem back there. I'm just saying that sometimes those things take care. But there are some people who simply don't care of what's going on. I believe that there's also people that do care. You know, when David got hurt by Saul, and David did get hurt by Saul, David did not ask for his position, but all he did was just try to be a blessing. And Saul threw a javelin at him because of his own insecurities. But there was one in that group that loved David and cared about David, and it was Jonathan, his own son, talking about Saul's own son. And God will always have somebody around you that will reach out to you to help you if you will allow them to do so. If you will allow them to do so and to help you. What I'm asking you again tonight, we're going to do this a little bit deeper into this, is that if you've been wounded, will you allow God to heal you? You say, well, that's a dumb question. That's not a dumb question. I'll prove it to you. There was a blind man that came up to Jesus. Or Jesus either walked up on him and said, what would you have me to do? Well, it sounds to me like if he's a blind man, why would Jesus ask him, what would you have me to do? Did you know there's some people that would rather stay blind? You know why? Because then there's no responsibility. There's no accountability. You're always a victim. People are always helping you. You understand what I'm saying? There are guys that are professional street corner workers. I mean, they make thousands and thousands of dollars because they know people will reach out and help you. He said, Lord, would you please heal my blindness? Would you please open my eyes? He said, I will. And so he opened his eyes, but it's odd that he would ask him that question. when it was obvious of what he needed. There are some young people who have been hurt deeply by some things that have gone on, maybe in their families, or maybe, you know what, when you sometimes even when a young couple, a young man is courting a young lady, or vice versa, and they are close to each other and they emotionally attach, and then something happens and they break up. One sometimes takes it okay and the other one falls apart. And never seems to sometimes get back engaged in some things in the work of the Lord because they feel like that they have been wounded. Can I tell you that you're going to have to be stronger than that? That you're going to have to grow up just a little bit and get past that? Past your emotions? Past your rejections of people? That's hard to do, but it's possible. But listen, what I want you to understand here about this wound. Let me give you an illustration of this. In 2 Chronicles chapter 18, there was a man there by the name of Ahab. And Ahab was standing in his chariot. And this guy pulled back a bow at venture and let it fly. And that arrow just went out there. And he was just shooting amongst the enemy, not knowing where King Saul was at because he was kind of disguising himself. And that arrow found that little opening in his armor and it sunk down into him and wounded him. Okay? Now what happens sometimes when you get wounded, this is what Ahab did. Ahab pretended like he had not been wounded. While he's standing there, the Bible says he stayed himself in his chariot and he's pretending as if he's not been wounded while he is bleeding out in the chariot. So what I'm saying is, if you've been wounded, you cannot neglect that wound. Did you know that 1/3 of the fatalities in the Civil War, 600,000 men died in the Civil War. 1/3 of those men died from non-fatal wounds because they neglected or ignored the wounds that they received. And they just kept going forward and neglected to deal with where they had been wounded. Did you know a lot of Christians are like that? They get wounded and they refuse to even acknowledge the fact that they've been hurt to others. Now we can tell that you're not acting normal. And we can tell that you're not engaged in the battle the way that you once were. And something's going on and inside your chariot where nobody can see, you're actually bleeding out. Now that's a very dangerous thing because what could have been fixed is only going to get worse. And you're going to wind up totally and completely out of the battle if you don't get it fixed. Do you understand the seriousness of this? Okay? Now, because, you know, sometimes I think it's our pride. Sometimes I think it's our pride. We don't want to admit that maybe we've gotten hurt. And then sometimes I think that, I'm talking about as a father, I've noticed this about men. Men can be very stoic of what they call, sometimes trying to pretend to be heroic in being stoic, but yet there's something in them. Some men can be offended and you won't even pick up on it. They can be hurt and you won't even be aware of it. What I've learned over the years many times when people leave, not all the time, so don't take this as a black and white statement. Sometimes when people leave a church, they give you an excuse of why they are leaving. They do not give you the reason they are leaving. And especially if somebody else in the church has wounded them and it festers. and it festers. And it infects you. Listen, if you get a wound, do you realize if you don't deal with that wound, it's going to eventually infect your whole body? It's going to infect your whole body. You may lose a limb. You may lose your own life. You may even catch some kind of infectious disease from it that will impact others. But your usefulness definitely is going to be hindered. I'm not telling you if you've been wounded to just suck it up, tough it out. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about back there are some wounds that take longer to heal. And some are very serious wounds in a person's heart and in a person's life. Some wounds need time. Do you agree with that? Some wounds take some time to heal. A broken heart must not turn into a bitter spirit. If you don't get it fixed, your wounded spirit is going to turn into a bitter spirit. And you're going to have to be willing to be honest with yourself that you have been deeply, deeply hurt and wounded in a situation. Turn with me to Psalm 105. Let me show you sometimes of how to deal with this. And I ain't saying this is the permanent solution, the only solution. I'm telling you it is a solution. Psalm 105. God has left us some examples in the Bible sometimes of when some things do happen that are not good in our lives. And you know what? I've been at this for a long time, and I get tired of sometimes of saying that, and I know you get tired of hearing that. But give me a little bit of credit for staying in the battle for almost five decades. Can I get a little credit for that? And definitely there have been some wounds along the way. But you know what? I tried to think over time of the times that I've been hurt, and I don't hardly remember any of them because I don't dwell on them. I mean, I'd have to really go back over my journals to try to find some of the stuff that's happened because I don't think about it. And if you get hurt on your hand, you just keep picking at it and picking at it and picking at it and picking at it every time it tries to heal. Man, do you think it's ever going to heal? There are some things that happen to you that are very serious. I've got some scars. If I took my shirt off and showed you my chest, I've got what they call a zipper. That's what it looks like. All the way. I've got a scar on my chest where they cut me and opened me up and then sewed me back together. Now, what if I had laid in the hospital and I just kept picking at that? Just kept picking at it because I like Cindy bringing me my coffee or I like Cindy fixing me my breakfast and, you know, I just liked the attention that it was gathering. Well, I'm not going to get better like that. Now I've got a scar. But you know what? I don't walk around with my shirt open and say, hey, man, look at this scar. Woo, man, I'm tough. And ain't you glad? Do you understand? We don't do stuff like that. There are many of you, I'm telling you, those of you who have gray hair in this congregation, you have gone through some things that nobody knows anything about, and you've got some scars in your life because you've let God heal some things in your life. A scar is a wound that's healed in your life. I want you to look in Psalm 105. Now, Brother Green's been preaching on Joseph on Wednesday nights and done a great job on him. Can I use him as an illustration tonight? God's given us some examples and illustrations about this. Look in Psalm 105 and verse 17. Look at this. What a great example this is. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant. Now in verse number 17, if you're taking notes, I would say verse number 17 describes the inward wound that Joseph received. You know why? Because it was his brethren that betrayed him and sold him and rejected him. Do you remember what their motive was? envy. The Bible says, who can stand before envy? And sometimes you'll wonder, why is it that people have hurt me? The more that you succeed, and the more you serve, and the more success you experience, I'm talking about business, family, ministry, whatever you do. According to the book of Ecclesiastes, you can do well and your neighbor will be envious of your success. There's a price to pay for being good at something. And envy is one of them. And envy is very evil. This is why, Brother Kyle, they killed the Lord Jesus. This is why that Korah and his crowd went after Moses, was because of envy. Rachel was envious of Leah. Leah was envious of Rachel. Envy dwells within your own kinfolk because of how well maybe that you can excel and that how well that you do things. And what I'm telling you is that here in verse number 17, they hurt him deeply. See, well, how deep? Well, how about 13 years later, the emotions are still very strong in him, because when his brothers are standing there before him and they're talking in the Hebrew, they don't even know he can understand Hebrew, and he has to get away from them so he can go over there so he can cry his eyes out. And then when he talks to them again and he begins to talk to them, there comes a time of where he just can't control it anymore. He's got to tell them who he is because of the pain and the heartache of what they had done to him. That inward thing. When somebody really, really hurts you, betrays you, a trust that you have given to them. Trust is something that is probably one of the most valuable things that you can give to a person. It's for me to trust you. If I trust you with my wife, if I trust you with my child, if I trust you with every penny that I've got, if I trust you with my soul, look in Psalm 105. Look at it. This is the inward. This is the inward part. Whose feet? Let's look at verse 17. He sent a man before them, even Joseph, who was sold for a servant. Whose feet they hurt with fetters, he was laid in iron. Now let's say that's the outward wound. You agree? He's laid there. He's got something that reminds him of what he's gone through and what his brothers. In other words, they say forgive and forget. I can forgive, but I can't always forget. Just because I don't forget doesn't mean that I'm holding anything against you. It just means I don't trust you anymore. And I may not ever give you that trust again for you to abuse. You understand? So, I'm not saying trust can't be regained and can't be rebuilt. Just don't demand it from me. Let me build it. Help build that. Okay? And Psalm 105 says this. It says, now this is the outward. And I think that the Lord could have protected him from this. But God wanted him to have a few scars to help him when he got to the palace, when he started wearing those nice clothes again for the first time. He could look to every time he took a bath or got ready to get dressed, he would see those scars on his feet and remember where he came from and what God brought him from. Now watch, I'm going somewhere with this, so stay with me now. Verse number 19 says, it says, until the time that his word came, and the word of the Lord tried him, the king sent and loosed him, even the ruler of the people, and let him go free. And he made him lord of his house and ruler of all his substance, to bind his princes at his pleasure and teach his senators wisdom. All right, there's three things here. You see the inward wound. You see the outward reminder of this with the scars. But then you see how he dealt with this, and this is what I want you to do. Please remember this statement. If you don't remember anything else I said tonight, what God has done for you, is far greater than what anyone has done to you. Did you hear me? What God has done for you is far greater than what anyone has done to you. So what you see here is he's taking this. He's bowed his knee to God, and now he has gone upward and forward in his life. If you have been hurt, you can stay in the prison. Bow your knee to bitterness. Or you can let God do something for you. Now watch this. Let me give you one more verse and we're going to pray. Isaiah 57 and verse number 15. Isaiah 57. I'm going to always take you back to God because He is our divine healer. In Isaiah 57, because when you get hurt, what you need, because what's going to happen when you get hurt? Your spirit runs out of gas. And you become discouraged, demotivated, and even disoriented. Look in Psalm 57, and this is what you need. And I don't say this lightly. I mean this sincerely. This is in the Bible. Yes, it's Old Testament. It is true in the New Testament as well. Isaiah 57:15 says, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy." Is there any question about who this is? Okay. "I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit." You say, "Well, Brother Roger, I don't understand why I have to humble myself, because I didn't cause this. I didn't start this. It happened to me." This is where you have to trust the living God, who allows some things to come into life that you will never be able to understand or explain. But you bow your knee to Him with a contrite and humble spirit and say, "God, I can't do this. I can't go forward on my own. I'm too weak for this. I'm too hurt for this. I don't want to trust anybody ever again. I don't want to get involved in ministry ever again." And by the way, it's okay to back off a little while. Just don't stay backed off. And the Bible says, He says, that what God will do is He says He will revive the spirit of the humble and revive the heart of the contrite ones. And so how did Joseph handle that? I believe he bowed his knee to God and held on to the promise of God's word that God would one day raise him up and fulfill his dream and his prophetic promise to him. Now, he had a word from God. And what I'm saying to you is that whatever God has allowed to happen to you, it is pale in comparison to what God has done for you. And he will use it now so that he can do something through you. And Joseph went through those things about being rejected by his brethren because God had a bigger plan. Some of you young people who maybe go through some real serious family struggles, maybe you've been adopted. Maybe your family's been through a divorce. Maybe you've lost a father or mother to a disease. Maybe there's other things that happen in your life as a believer and as a church. I don't know. But I know that God has ways of using. By the way, there's a lot of things that happen in our lives through pain that brings about change. And sometimes it's the only thing that brings about change in a major way. There are some things that you just no longer will even touch because you've been burnt. You've learned to stay away from those places. I wonder if the guy in the Good Samaritan story, I wonder if he took a different path the next time he went to town. Or maybe if he took some people with him this time when he went to town. Maybe he went by and made some friends with Smith and Wesson before he went to town. You understand what I'm saying, right? But you can learn from these things. Just do not do what a lot of people are doing these days. of what they call church hurt and get out of church or fade into a church that is no longer a good Bible-believing church. So that you got one zombie sitting next to another zombie and they're singing their zombie songs and everybody's a victim and they stay a victim their whole lives. That's not what you want. You want God to be able to heal you, and God will put some people around you also to help you heal. But may I say that when you heal up, there's still going to be some mean people along the way. And there's going to be some mean people along the way that don't care. Just don't be one of them. Amen. And there will be some people along the way that don't care. Don't be one of them. You can help somebody who starts visiting our church and who maybe doesn't trust me. It's not that they don't trust me. They don't trust preachers. But it's possible that you could bring them into your home and you can tell by their spirit that they've been hurt. And God can use you to help dress that wound and heal that wound and encourage them along the way. They understand. God is able to revive your spirit. How many times has God revived yours? I can't even count how many times I've needed revival. I can have a great day on Sunday, and by Monday at noon, I need God to revive my spirit again. I'm that bad. But there are some days I can run all week on what God's given me in a service. I can't explain what goes on in the spirit world or what sometimes people say and what they do and how it impacts us. I just know God is able to heal you and to help you if you'll let Him. All right, let's stand together, please, with our heads bowed. Let's pray together. You say, well, Brother Roger, how will I know that I'm healing? Well, I'll tell you something that I know is one of the signs is that you just don't talk about it much anymore, and you don't think about it much anymore. And you remember how good God's been to you. And God's been greater to you than anything that anybody has done to you. Father, I love you and I love these dear saints. And God, I thank you for helping many of them to be overcomers. Enduring all things for the elect's sake. Good soldiers in Christ Jesus. And Father, I pray that we might bow our knee to you and not to bitterness. Help us to trust you, that you can take the deepest pain that no one even knows about, and you can use that and heal that and make us stronger and make us usable again. In Jesus' name, please help them tonight. For Christ's sake, amen.